I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, it's me, Mike. I run the Sonar Podcast Network, the very one you're listening to right now. I love podcasting and I love the Canadian podcast community. And if you're a podcaster, work in podcasting, or just someone who loves podcasts, you're going to want to listen up. I'm proud to announce that I've been working very hard behind the scenes on an incredible podcasting event in Toronto on June 6th, the Soundwave Summit 2024. And as a Sonar listener, you get 15% off on all tickets with the code SONAR15. An awesome group of podcast companies and creators have banded together to create a space for podcasters and fans to build community, share knowledge, and celebrate indie productions. There will be a ton of informative sessions all day, including talks from Canada Land, Vocal Fry, Black Canadian Creators, Lead Podcasting, and of course, from us, the Sonar Network. In the evening, there will be a showcase of live podcast recordings from Blacklantic, Squirrel Talk, and the Women of Ill Repute. And it's all emceed by the amazingly talented and Survivor-winningest host of Happy to See Me podcast, Erica Kostupinen. Join us for insightful workshops on podcasting, networking with industry pros, drinks, and overall amazing opportunities to meet and collaborate with like-minded podcast lovers. Come for the sessions in the day, the live podcast showcase at night, or better yet, come for the whole thing. Tickets are going fast, so get them now at thesoundwavesummit.com. And don't forget to use the code SONAR15 for 15% off all tickets. That's SONAR15. See you there.
Hi, it's me, Ben.
And it's me, Abba.
And you're listening to Nostalgique. It's me, Abba.
It's me, Ben.
We do a Freaky Friday app.
Oh my God.
We switch.
That'd be crazy. Do you remember how great that movie was?
So good. Such a great Jamie movie. Lee Curtis essentially playing Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Brandon Ash Mohammed loves that movie and always loves how, like, he'll say we are the band in that movie. I'm like, oh my God. That also just, like, Lindsay Lohan, like, her singing, just all of her singing moments in her past.
Yes.
Like, life Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen.
Life is a work of heart. You gotta make it colorful. You can have a high IQ. Dun, dun. Oh God, what a great song.
Oh my
or
God.
Or the song that the band actually played in the movie Freaky Friday. Don't wanna get it, just wanna stay out. Hey, take me away. Hey.
And then like Jamie Lee Curtis is like backstage and
yeah,
she's the one playing guitar.
She's like shredding. Oh my
which,
God.
Which, like, wouldn't, like, people wouldn't know that was happening.
Exactly.
Like, no one in the audience would be like, yeah, oh, she's playing guitar. They'd be like, someone's, like, playing for her.
Exactly. And honestly, that movie, I think that anyone who watched that movie and really stand that movie became a bad bitch. Became a fucking bad bitch. You became a bad bitch. I'm sorry.
You know what's the most baddest bitches part of that movie? Mm. It's actually when Jamie Lee Curtis is supposed to be Lindsay Lohan. So it's Lindsay Lohan playing,
yes,
like, the mom.
Yes.
And she's in an exam and... Wait, oh, I might be getting this wrong. No, it is her.
Yeah.
And, like, the mean popular girl,
yeah,
was, like, she, like, wrote something on her test. It was, like, a big, like, test or something. And it was, like, just, like, a note, like, hey, like, girly, like, I don't know. And, like, Lindsay Lohan, like, read it, and then she shoots her hand up, and she's like, Mr. So-and-so, like, Lindsay Lohan's looking at my paper, and, like, the optics were true, like, she was, but it was because she had, like, like, she had lured her to do it. And I remember, this is when I was like, Lindsay Lohan, like, is a good actress, because in that moment, when she was reacting to what was happening, I didn't see a teenager. I was like, that is a mother who was like, this is a mean little girl. And, like, I remember
that's being a mean little girl.
Truly. And she was so, I guess, she was like, this is unacceptable.
Yeah.
And also, same Lindsay Lohan playing Jamie Lee Curtis, when the teacher's mean to her or something.
Yes.
She's like, wait, this is because you stood up.
Yes.
Me, i.e. my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners get it.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, drags him forward in front of everyone. You're like, and it's like, you're pathetic. Very ahead of its time.
Ahead of its time.
I feel like whenever, like, a Disney movie or 2000 something has any semblance of, like, being socially aware, we're like, very
ahead of its time. That trope, the bare minimum, is so old. Like, wait, you were in love with my mother and she never gave you a chance, so you hate me. Like,
and if anything, kind of still rooted in sexism.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
It's so wild. They don't make movies like that anymore. They don't make movies like that anymore. Yeah.
Was my demon back?
No.
Oh, okay, thank goodness.
We just lost our guest.
I think she'll come back.
Yeah, she'll come back.
I hope.
Oh, yes. Here she is now. But yeah, I think that we're going to have... Isn't it? Okay, this is what I think is wild. All those, like, late 80s, early 90s, like, movies are being remade, right?
Yes.
And in the next 10 years, we're going to see, like a bunch of people remaking movies from when we were kids. Like, Freaky Friday is going to get redone.
Oh my God.
Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen is going to get a remake. The Lizzie McGuire movie is going to get a remake. Like...
Oh, my God.
Those things are going to get remade.
That is so... I'm like, what would the vibe be? Will it be like, it'll be like, make it Euphoria? Like, everything will be kind of Euphoria.
Like a dark, I hate it when Hollywood does that. They're like, let's take this, like, tale oldest time and then, like,
they love doing that. Hollywood was obsessed with that for a while.
Yeah.
Where it was like, even Disney was like, we'll give you live action, like, I don't know, Alice in Wonderland, but we'll make it like a twisted acid trip.
Well, even the live action Jungle Book, terrifying.
The live action Jungle Book was so, when that monkey was so big.
Yeah.
And like when it was smashing through everything and when it was doing its song and everything, I was scared.
Scary. It's scary.
And the original was just kind of fun and cute.
Yeah. I'm like, bring back the Jonas Brothers. Okay. Do you remember Nick Jonas's riff on their original song for Jungle Book? Oh my God. There's this one riff he does at the end and it's so long and unnecessary. It's so stupid.
Oh my God.
I'm going to send it to you. He just goes, yeah, that's literally exactly how it sounds.
They don't do that. Male singers don't do that anymore. But they would say anything.
Yes.
Like, even interludes were just like, yeah, whoa, in every show.
Girl, you've been gone for so long. Like.
I'm going to say something.
Say it.
I recently have, because, like, I go through phases where, like, I don't care about men.
Yes.
And I don't even want to look at a man or find them attractive. But now I'm in a phase where I'm like, I just find myself, like, on Joe Jonas's Instagram. Just, like, kind of, like, testing to see if I find him hot. Like, kind of. But, like. Holding myself back, but also kind of like willing myself to.
Yes.
I'm like, well, maybe that's a hot picture.
Yes.
And I've decided that I do find him hot.
Joe Jonas?
Yeah. Nick Jonas, I don't find him hot anymore.
I used to find him so hot when he was younger and he had the curly hair.
I love
a guy with curly hair or like flippy, floppy hair.
But now he's like, you know what he is?
What?
He's, because we do love short kings and he could be a short king, but But he's trying to be tall.
How tall is he?
I don't know. Actually, hold on. I'm going to Google it.
Yeah. Isn't he like...
Because I consider him like... My guess is he's going to be 5'8".
5'8"? I'm guessing 5'11".
Okay. Nick, Joan... Oh my God. This is so exciting. Abba, we were both wrong.
What is he?
He's 5'6".
Oh!
He's so short. This okay. Now I actually find him short the hottest man in the world.
He's
now
the hottest man in the world.
Oh, because now if I met him, like,
we're eye to eye.
Like, but I would be like looking down, and to me, like, to look down at Nick Jonas, I would. That would be like.
That's powerful.
That would be powerful.
My okay, well, not Miley Cyrus. Beyonce is 5'7". Isn't it funny that Beyonce is taller than Nick Jonas? I think that's funny.
That is. And Kate Moss taller than Nick Jonas.
Yes.
I hate that I know, because everyone famous is like, well, you know, Kate Moss is 5'7". Yeah. Like, I feel like people just love to say that. It's so now it's like something I know. It's like I'm not a Kate Moss stan.
Stan, but
it's like,
neither.
I just like can't get rid of that fact.
No,
but
I
also
agree.
On America's Next Top Model, whenever there was a short model, they were always obsessed with being like, if a judge was like, well, like she's a bit short, they'd be like, well, Kate Moss. And then Tyler would be like, you have a point.
I'm like, why is that the go? It's so annoying, because as much as often as people are like, well, Kate Moss is like 5'7", they never hire models that are 5'7". They just use that as a talking point.
They just, it was just her, and it was just because, like, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't even know. I don't know what the fashion industry, does. All I know is that drag queens are starting to, like, be in them, and that is exciting to me. And also, models are starting to, because, like, if you look at, like, any fashion ad or show, it's, like, it's actually, like, it's iRobot.
Oh.
The models are all iRobot. Yes. Like, all the same. It's actually alarming.
It's scary.
Like, it takes you, like, completely out of it, because you're, like, they're, like, where did they find the original?
Exactly.
The original copy who made all these people?
I don't know. Terrifying.
You know what I'm not terrified for is my iced coffee.
I've been on an iced coffee tip. Okay, talk me through. How do you make your iced coffee?
Okay, this is what I do. And it's really not fancy or anything. I just take a cup of coffee.
Yes.
Or an espresso. I make a little espresso. Put it in at the fridge. Mm-hmm. Just to, like, let it cool.
Yes.
Get a glass or a mason jar.
Okay.
Full of ice. Then, like, a tablespoon of maple syrup.
Okay.
Oat milk.
Okay.
Mix it together. Mm-hmm. Metal straw. I'm good to go.
And good to go.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
That was the worst fake laugh we've ever fucking done.
But that, the fake laugh turned into like then like a witchy kind of like. And then that made me start to actually laugh.
Stephen's so stupid. Oh my god. Okay.
Oh my god.
In some circles, I am a witch, so that's fine.
We're feeling very
I'm busy. A Scorpio after all. I love a good Wiccan vibe.
Oh yes. I'm so excited. I'm so excited to introduce our guest. That voice you're hearing.
Oh my god. She is an iconic, prolific Toronto drag queen. Some would say Canada's most crucially ignored drag superstar. You could find her on Instagram at The Visa Decline, Patreon at The Visa Decline. Tons of cool content to be coming onto their website, visadecline.com. And check out Visa Decline's YouTube. Yes. YouTube channel. They have a show called You're Doing It Wrong with Patrick Murray.
Yes.
Past guest of the pod, which is so, so funny. It's basically Visa, who's like a very like well-established, knows all the tricks of the trade drag queen, teaching Patrick, who knows like literally nothing, how to do makeup. And it's hilarious.
It is very hilarious. They're very hilarious. Oh my God. And remember, it's Visa with a Z, not an S, okay? Because a Visa with an S gets sued, honey. Yes, as Ben said, described as Canada's most critically ignored drag superstar. And
yes, he does.
Honey, the best act in your price range. That is so
honestly,
funny.
Honestly, same.
Oh, God. So please, please welcome your ears for the one, the only, Visa Decline.
Visa Decline.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for being here. Oh, my God.
Welcome. We're so excited to have... It's just such a fierce Toronto queen.
Yes.
We love the Toronto drag queen.
Long time listener, first time guest. So very excited.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
That's amazing.
Oh my God. We just truly, I mean, I must say, the drag name Visa Decline.
So funny.
I have to say, it's so funny. I myself, not the sharpest tool in the shed, honey. Took me a while to get that joke. It did, but when it got to me, it floored me. I was like, I just love the audacity of drag queens to choose the most ridiculous name. Like, when it's right, it's right.
Right.
Like it sings so beautifully.
Yes. Well, the first time I came up with the name was 2010, and it was I originally did an S.
Okay.
like the credit card. And then when I brought the character back, I was like, well, no, because everyone's suing everyone nowadays. So better not take that chance because mama don't got $100,000.
Exactly. Exactly. No. Oh, my God.
And honestly, like, that's a credit card company. Like, they could destroy your life.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm.
They already do destroy thousands.
I
mean,
and you know what? I already feel like Visa with a Z is so much more queer-coded than Visa with an S. So it,
I know. Like, the fact that I have to tell people it's a Liza reference sometimes, I'm like, I don't need to know you. No. You're not someone I want in my circle at all.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Absolutely. How long have you been doing drag, Visa?
Ooh, God. I think it's over 14 years this October. God. I'm a Halloween baby. Every drag queen either is a pride baby, a Halloween baby, or now a Corona baby. So,
oh my God. Okay, can we talk on that? Okay, I'm so happy you mentioned it. Because I mean, I'm not part of the drag queen community, so sometimes I'm like, there's only so much I can say that's like, you know, worthy of being said. But
I've noticed
about the quarantine, a lot of people, and I get it, you know, you have more time, you have maybe more time, but there's been a lot of quarantine queens.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty much helping create one with Patrick, so I can't really say too much against it. But there has definitely been an influx in the last year of queens. And it's really interesting to watch because when I started, we didn't have Drag Race. Like Drag Race maybe came around 2 years after I started, maybe a year and a half after I started. Whoa. So when I started, you really had to befriend legendary queens, more established queens, and hope that they will take you under your wing and teach you a few tricks of the trade. But now people can just turn on YouTube and be like, oh great, I know makeup, Amazon has these, I can just buy that. And like, everyone just looks the same now. Like, there are so many queens who have added me and I'm like, I can't tell four of you apart. It's kind of like that Ryan Murphy meme where like he casts all the same cis white actor. Like, I can't tell them apart. That's how I feel with drag queens now. I'm like, I don't know anything.
You're calling out a very interesting dynamic. Yeah, like I feel like because there's no mothering happening like face to face or like in communities, it's like a very individualistic and like competitive. So there's like, I mean, there's still friendships in the drag world, but it feels like there's a lot of like competition to see who looks the best. But then you're not getting your character nurtured at the same time. So, like, these queens who look amazing on Instagram will come onto RuPaul's Drag Race, which is not the best barometer for who's the best drag queen.
Yeah, but totally.
It is essentially a character, like, contest. And a lot of these queens flop because they're just used to being like, hey, YouTube. Like, and that's it. Like, they don't know anything else.
Oh, my God. I genuinely said yes.
Yes,
true. But it's so true because Abba, when you said there's no like face to face mothering, I was like, that's it. Like, it's like it's about community. It's about that because drag. That's listeners know Visa. Obviously, you know, it's like it's a community act. Like that's how it started. And when it becomes something that you do to get like social clout or like followers or that, it kind of loses its. It's like special, it's magic, if you will.
Yeah, and I find one of the things I have a problem with the most, not to get too into it, but it's the queens who are constantly like, oh, I need to get to 5,000 followers. Oh, yeah. I need to get to 10,000 followers. It's like, how about you just work on your act? And then people will follow if it's something worthwhile. Why are you just trying to attract people who are probably going to mute you and then you're not going to get good algorithm reactions to your posts anyways, you know? It's a very odd. It's all like, oh, I need to have these numbers in order to be considered for Drag Race. Guess what? Drag Race is not going to solidify you as a superstar. You do that, not a TV show. A TV show will give you a platform and a chance to start something, but if you don't got the talent to back it up,
you just don't have it. Well, it's the same thing like when YouTubers or people who make like, I won't go so far as to call them sketches, skits, And I'm not talking about
books. Oh, I hate when people say skits. It bothers me.
But they are not making, they're not making sketch comedy.
And,
they're making
and
skits.
And I'm not talking about comedians who are actually good at it and have gotten, like, a good hold of, like, you know, those character, like, front-facing camera videos on Twitter. I mean, like, those people from Vine that genuinely just have a big ego, they're not funny. When those people find success online, they always want to do stage stuff and tour stuff because that's where the money is. They're in merch. And they finally get to the stage and realize how much they fucking suck. And they get cast in movies all the time, and they don't have the talent to back it up. They just have the numbers. So these movies don't even get watched because people who can sit through more than 1 minute of content do not know who these people are. You know? Yeah. Like, their fans aren't watching the movies.
The people who are going to, like, comedy clubs, too, like, they're not, like, the 13-year-olds watching your videos. Yeah. Like, they're people who, like, are paying to see a good show. I once did. This was a show I would do at Bad Dog, and it was a monthly show.
I love how you got and so secretive about it.
There would be an opening, like, stand-up act, and, like, we would do, like, the show. And one of the shows, the opening act, was a YouTuber. And he was like, he's very Toronto adjacent. I won't name him, but I feel
Greg
like...
Brown.
It's Greg Brown. Could you imagine? No, of course. Greg Brown would have killed. Oh, my God.
Could you imagine? Yeah, we love Greg.
I'm like, you know what I will say? It was Greg Brown. It was Greg Brown. We love Greg. And he absolutely bombed.
No, never.
but it was this just, like, YouTuber boy who, like, I had seen his videos and I admittedly, like, saw, like, oh, this guy is, like, whatever, like, 100K followers. And I was like, he must have it. He must be talented. And it was, like, the first time I'd seen one of those people, like, IRL, if you will. And he bombed.
Oh.
Like, and I'm not being rooting for him to bomb and saying, oh, yeah, it was a bad show, so he bombed. I'm like, no, silence. Like, no. Silence. And I'm a stand-up. And, like, Visa, like, Abba, like, we all know what it's like to have a mic and to tell a joke and to be stand-ups. You know what I mean? And I was watching it just as a stand-up being like, this is not even stand-up comedy. This is someone talking, trying to be funny. There was no structure. There was no jokes. And I was like, of course, because he hasn't done, and I'm not
he
like one of
edit.
Those comedians.
He can't edit.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't, honey, you can't edit in real life.
You can't edit in real life.
You can't
life.
Do that.
Yeah.
And I'm not one of those, like, comedians who's like, oh, you got to do the open mics.
No,
you
me
you
neither.
Cut
your I
teeth.
Never did the open
you gotta
mics.
Cut your teeth,
no.
Kid. Never did. Yeah. But, like, you do need to, like, I don't know. I would never be like, oh, come see me perform a tap show without having taken,
thank
like, a tap
you.
Class.
Thank you.
Know?
You.
Or, like, at least trying to perform tap in front of it. Now I want to take a tap class.
So I used to manage at the Second City, and I remember we had one event in the John Candy Box Theater. And it was a YouTuber who booked it out. He actually sold out two shows,
oh my God.
Which is 75 people in the theater at the time. So I'm like, oh, big sellout. But the whole show was him watching, what's that movie? Cody Banks. He was watching Cody Banks. God. And
the Frankie
it was the
Muniz
weirdest.
Movie?
Yeah. And he was just reacting, like, commenting, critiquing it live.
Just
and
him?
Like making jokes with, like, some other guy who was on a laptop, and they were just on stage making jokes about it. And these people were eating it up. And I was like, is this the future?
No, I refuse for that to be the future. Do that in
why
your
are we
home.
Giving Frankie Muniz so much attention?
Yeah.
Like, no.
Frankie Muniz. Oh, my God.
Frankie Muniz.
Isn't he the one who said he wanted Lizzo to sit on his face? Is he weird now? Am I making that up?
Oh, I didn't know that. I
he
mean, that
got into
right.
an accident, and he, I think there was, like, some sort of head injury, and he's very forgetful now.
Oh, my God.
I think he was on Dancing with the Stars, and there was a whole, like, side segment, like, drag race moment interview.
Oh, my God.
It was a race car accident, right? Wasn't it a race car accident
maybe.
Or something?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because he became a race car driver.
Nah. Mm-mm. This is why I don't do sports and shit.
Actually,
I have
though,
other reasons why I don't
yeah,
do sports.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's why I'm not
you know who's? You know who's probably never played sports once in her goddamn
that's
life?
That's really good, Ben. That's really good.
Yeah. I really, when I felt it brewing, I was like, I was
it's
like,
a feeling.
Like
it's
this
a feeling.
A segue, it's not about the words. It's literally about the
feeling.
Feeling
it elicits.
It's about balance.
It's a balance,
but
exactly.
It's all about, oh my God, this is a very exciting day for us. Visa, would you like to introduce the artist we're talking about today?
Well, when you guys invited me on, there was only one artist that really jumped out at me for a drag queen to talk about, and that is probably the biggest drag queen of all, Cher.
We need, you know what? I'm going to admit it. I'm going to say it. I don't know a lot about Cher. I haven't listened to a lot of her music. I know her hits from the early 2000s. So I'm really excited to learn on this episode. And as I was kind of like visiting her essentials on Apple Music. Yes, Apple Music. Yes, I was very much like, I was like, she is so queer coded. Why is she so queer coded? Oh my God. Can you give us your explanation of why she's so queer coded?
Yes. Oh my God. Why?
Cher? Why she's queer coded? She's a diva, and older generation gays, they always gravitate towards the divas who experience turbulence in their life, who experience tragedy. She literally checks off everything for the diva category. She checks everything for the icon category. She is fashion. She is...
Yes.
She's in her 70s, and she's still relevant. She's got a movie coming out, which... I think it's called Cher and the Loneliest Elephant. I thought it was going to be me and her finally doing a movie together, but it wasn't. She just knows how to evolve through each decade. And that's the one thing. Cher's done it flawlessly, whereas someone like Madonna had a few little issues with doing that, but Cher is fully like... She's like, oh, I'm going to put out all these ABBA songs and the gays are going to eat it up.
Oh, that, I mean.
I'm going to be 70 and I'm going to sing Waterloo. Here we go. Bitches, you know?
I mean, that album was a moment. And I mean, the whole Mamma Mia of it all was a moment as well. But that is, it's the longevity of Cher is like, I feel like that is very queer as well. Because it's like the kind of, and I love saying, I've been saying this so much, the audacity of just being like, I refuse to go anywhere. Like, I'm here to stay. I'm going to do a million reunion or farewell tours and never retire. That is so gay. Like,
she literally put out a song called You Haven't Seen the Last of Me.
Literally.
And we never will.
And we never will.
And what's so interesting about Cher to me is that her personality throughout every single decade has just been so interesting. There are so many celebrities where their personality type, like, dies out with the fucking decade they peaked at. You know, there are some celebrities where you can't watch them on a talk show because it's like, ew, this is so 80s. Like, where the fuck did they find this guy? But Cher, she has this, like, personality that is transcendent. And just the shit that she says. Did you hear what she recently said? She said that if she was there when George Floyd got shot, she thinks she could have saved him. That she could have kept him alive. She could have intervened some way, somehow. Isn't that insane?
It's insane. It's
my God.
The delusion and also the solipsism to like read about a horrible tragedy and immediately make it about yourself.
Yes.
And be like, well, what if a Cher was there? It's just,
that's why she's so queer coded. She's like bigger than herself. She's like an idea. She's no longer a person.
And it's crazy because at the start of her career, she was this shy, like, oh, I can't go out. I have stage fright. And Sunny literally had to push her out on stage. And now she's like, oh, out of my way, bitches. Like, follow this. I'm grand dame, you know? Like, it's interesting to see how her confidence has built throughout each decade, too. And especially being a woman of a certain age who was like, I'm going to do what I want. I don't need to marry a man. I'm gonna date someone 20 years younger than me.
Yes. Yes.
Before it's fashionable to be like a MILF, you know?
Yeah.
But like...
The original MILF.
The original. I know Madonna likes to think she is, but...
It's Cher. No,
sorry, it's Cher. Madonna. Cher and that bagel
Madonna's
boy.
Chasing Cher's career, it seems.
Really? Madonna needs to be chasing a better plastic surgeon. That's what she needs to be chasing.
Can we talk about the ass? Can we talk about the ass? When that ass first...
Can we talk about the photoshopping? Onto another person's body?
Insane,
fully?
Insane. I'm like, what kind of insane wacko behavior?
Like a 7, was it like a 17-year-old's body or something?
Like
like from like the Ukraine, like it was
Khloe
just,
Kardashian is taking notes.
Oh my God, it's just, and it just, it baffles me. It's like I think Madonna has no team anymore because like there should be someone in her ear to be like, that selfie angle, nobody does this. Like her selfies are absurd.
They're absurd. They're obnoxious. You know what? And I think I'll go so far as to say that she does have a team and they're all yes men. No one can tell her no.
Yeah.
And like taking a selfie like this, listener, you can't see, but my arms are outstretched and my shoulders are hunched and my neck is tucked.
Or where the camera like starts like at the forehead. Yeah. So the whole picture is just, it's just, It's so, what kind of it's, demon shit? It's like a Cronenberg, like,
yeah. Film. She just looks like an IMAX screen at some, yeah. at some angles.
Some of them look like iPads.
Just don't play one of her movies on it. For Christ's sake.
Oh my God. Can you talk to us about, like, how you got into Cher? Like, how'd you become a fan?
Well, I mean, Cher isn't something you get into. It's just an experience that is thrust upon you when you do the cartwheel out of the closet.
Yes.
That is pretty much, the joke used to be, oh, you'll get a toaster oven when you come out of the closet. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was the old 90s joke. Mm-hmm. For me, it was, here's a Cher CD and maybe a wig to play with every now and then. But
oh my God.
I think the first time, I don't know about you guys, but my first time experiencing Cher was actually when Sunny died. That's when I really...
Interesting.
Like, noticed, and I learned the history of Cher because of the age I was when Sunny died. She suddenly was thrust back into the spotlight, and she came out then with the Believe album, which was like her huge comeback.
Yes.
And then when I started seeing that, and they were playing older clips of her, and then I started finding her movies, and I realized I love 80s Cher out of all the decades. Oh. 80s Cher is my favorite. Movie star Cher, the turn back time, like rocker.
Yes, Cher. Her hair in that era, the amazing. curly, gorgeous. Yes.
I used to have that wig. I think I sold it. I can't find it anywhere. Because I was thinking, I was like, oh, I should put it on for this episode. But
I hold up the wig. I bought it.
Yeah.
It's mine. That's so interesting because I personally, the Cher, was thrust upon me as a gay. It's very like Believe era Cher, like very like kind of Cher as we know her now. I mean, also Drag Me. I was born 1996, so like I love Burlesque. The film is one of my favorite cinematic achievements in modern history.
Wagon wheel protrusion.
I will never forget being a gay little boy and watching the trailer of that movie, of the trailer of Burlesque, and it's like, it's an amazing trailer, and it's Christina Aguilera, and she's on the stage, and she starts to sing after Cher said she couldn't audition, and then when Cher says, hold the curtain, I literally was like, that to me, I was like, I'm a performer. I want to be that.
Yes.
But I didn't really know, I wasn't really familiar with the Sunny and Cher of it all until truly, like, recently, like maybe like a five or recently like 3-4 years ago, just like kind of like getting to know that era as well, but I don't really know the history there.
So with Cher and Sunny, I think she was in high school. Like, she always skirts around how old she was when she got with Sunny, but like there have been people who are like,
it's not good,
she might have been underage, but
classic.
So they got married and they hit it big with I Got You, Babe. And he wrote it one night. Like, they literally were living with just a mattress and a piano and they were super poor. He wrote it one night and she listened to it. And she was like, it's not one of your best songs. I'm going back to bed. And then they recorded it and it became this huge hit. But then as the 70s changed, they became like, they were considered hippies when they came out with I Got You, Babe, and then they became the Squares. Like, people were looking at them like, oh, you're anti-drug, oh, you're not rock, you're all these very jokes poppy about you're them. Not cool.
Yeah, if you're Square, you're Sunny and Cher.
Yeah, so they became a nightclub act. That's the only way they could get any work. And then a CBS executive saw their nightclub act and was like, oh, we should put this on TV. So then that's how they got the TV show. And it just was, it was just her making fun of him. Like, he was pretty much the punching bag, and then she would come out in these glamorous dresses and then make jokes at his expense because he's short and terrible hair and all that stuff. So, yeah. But he screwed her out of money.
Oh, how did he do that?
Wait, what?
Because she never really paid attention, so she would just sign things. And she later found out that he made himself the vice president of Cher. The president of Cher or the CEO of Cher. And she was just getting a salary out of it. She didn't actually own
her brand, herself.
Brand, pretty much. Yeah.
Ew. Wow. No.
And it's like, how old? She must have been what? Like 20?
Yeah, she was in her 20s. She was
young. Of course. Like, I wouldn't read anything.
No.
I still wouldn't.
I mean,
gave me a contract.
I mean, do we read when we accept the Apple terms and conditions? No.
And especially, like, it's like, I feel like artists at that time were kind of like, okay, after Motown, they're like, we should read our contracts. But, Sonny, you're working with your partner. Like, you'd assume that they'd want the best for you.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Ew.
Just another classic tale of women getting fucked out of money by their male counterparts that they work with.
Yep.
That's just, like, such a common thread in, like, the musical history. It's disgusting. And also of, like, okay, this is not musical, but just even just of, like, learning about so many celebrities who got away with these disgusting, like, age gap relationships. Like, I just learned that Brad Pitt, when he was, like, 25, was dating a 17-year-old Christina Applegate.
Yes, 17 years old.
Like, she was, truly, like, 16, just turned 17.
If you are
like,
8 years older than your partner and you're 30, the woman is 30 and the man is 38, fine, whatever, you're in your 30s at the point. There's always going to be a power dynamic if you're in a heterosexual cis relationship, but a 17 year old, like, are you gonna go and pick her up from fucking high school, Jerry Seinfeld?
Literally.
Like,
I was just going to say Jerry Seinfeld is a classic example, but like that is, so unfortunately, wild. That is very old Hollywood, gross. Like, I remember watching the Judy Garland movie, Me and My Shadows, and like, I think she was in her teens and she was dating a 30 or going on dates with like a 30-year-old. Ugh. And then when he ended up marrying, I think, Lana Turner, she was like heartbroken.
Of course.
Something. So like,
young love. Well, you're young and he's ancient. For her. Yeah, exactly. For her. Yeah.
Taking it, that's a very Cher move of her.
I love that. Yes, I'm really into, okay, so I'm tired of MILF erasure. We're coming into a time in pop culture where there aren't enough divas, there aren't enough MILFs. I love MILFs.
Yes.
And I feel like they're being replaced with a lot of young women, and that is fine. Like, the more femme people in the industry, the better, whatever. But there's this very specific brand of, like, hot old lady.
Yes.
That makes Hollywood go round, and I'm missing it.
Absolutely.
There's a there's a luxury there. There's like an opulence with that type of like aesthetic. And I really love that Cher still embodies that in like her 70s. Mm-hmm. Like, do you think she's gonna come out with another project? Like a full project and not just a single?
Well, she just saved an elephant and she's coming out with a movie about
that's
it.
True.
Oh yes. That's- Wait, so is this movie like a documentary or like?
Yeah, I think it's like a Disney Plus thing. I'm not sure.
Oh my God.
But apparently there was some endangered elephant that she helped or paid some money to like rescue to get to a sanctuary. But it was like, I just saw a trailer and I was like, this is very different from your usual brand.
Yeah.
But I might give it a watch.
She's
Will we see
cool.
Cher riding that elephant?
I hope so.
I really hope so.
You know how I know Cher is still cool? Because she wears t-shirts. When an old woman wears t-shirts, like graphic tees, that's how I know.
I just love Cher on Twitter.
Yes.
Her Twitter
she loves
is...
loves to be on Twitter.
Yesterday was a perfect example. Katy Perry shared something about American Idol auditions and then posted a picture of a little girl crying, and Cher's response was, "Why is that child crying?"
Do you think she's...
Nothing else, just that. Like, not like, oh, the show was great last night. Just like, why is that kid crying?
Do you think it's a bit for her, or do you think she's genuinely, like,
I think
question?
She's trolling, but then there are other times where I think she's actually... Like, Kathy Griffin has that bit where she's like, "Chef, how does pizza happen?"
Yeah.
And I think that's legitimate, Cher. She's been thrust into being a millionaire that she has lost a little bit of sense of what it's like to be a regular person. So
that's true. We always forget that she is like, she's no longer a citizen. She's like
no.
a brand, an idea. Like, she doesn't need to think normally.
The joke was that she doesn't even have a postal code. It's just that Cher lives here. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. That's so funny to me. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Her Twitter is the most like dizzying experience. And like, I do agree. I think part of her now must be in on the joke because like, I think for the first couple of years when people were like, okay, Cher's Twitter is something you must follow. Like, it's hilarious. I feel like she must have caught wind of that in some capacity, but I still think it comes from a place of like, Cher genuinely doesn't know why that kid is crying and like actually wants to know and like probably doesn't know how to like DM Katy Perry. So she's like, I'm just going to comment because that's like the closest option.
And I think it's also a certain kind of person where sometimes you see things on Twitter and you're like, well, that's not for me. Cher is so powerful that she's like, no, I need to know why this child is crying. Yeah. Like, it's her responsibility. Yeah.
And the thing is, she probably has the life experience of like every question she's asked has been answered. So it's like, it's not like us probably commenting on a celebrity's pic and like no one's it's just gonna be left there. Like Cher knows that every time she speaks, like she speaks, people are gonna listen.
What I love about Cher is that she rose to stardom being a singer, but she considers herself a better actress than a singer.
It's very interesting.
And that's what I love. It's like, oh, the thing that made you the most money, you're like, that's a backup. But like acting is what I'm better at.
That is so, what is your favorite Cher acting project?
Yeah.
I mean, The Witches of Eastwick, that's a gay classic. Mm-hmm. Susan Sarandon, Michelle Pfeiffer, yes. Jack Nicholson.
Iconic.
Yes.
Moonstruck. I remember seeing Moonstruck when I was, I think about 9, 10. It was like on City TV, you know, when they used to do like movies.
Yeah,
in the afternoon or something. So I remember watching it and being Italian, I was just like, oh, my people, I get it. Okay, like this, I identify with this.
Yes, yes.
I mean, it was a bad Italian accent, but still, I identified. Recently, I mean, Burlesque pretty much just was a PG showgirls, in my opinion, the camp aspect.
Yeah.
It was like, there was no full frontal things. It was pretty much just the same kind of concept as Showgirls, but they wanted a better theatrical release. I remember when that movie came out, they actually, when I was working at Zelda's, they sent a bunch of little faces of Cher on a stick to give out to the audiences.
Oh my God.
It was the creepiest thing because it's Cher's face and they cut out the eyes so you could put your eyes in. It was demonic. And they sent one of Christina Aguilera in a bob. And I was like, first the eyes and the bob. What a sight.
What a sight.
That is so scary.
They didn't think it through. Yeah.
No, imagine they were just like, yeah, we'll send these for pride.
God. Oh my God. That's fucking funny. That is so fucking funny. Oh my God.
I haven't seen Moonstruck. And I know I ought to, but I always get confused. Is that the movie she won the Oscar for?
Moonstruck is the one she won the Oscar for. Silkwood, she won a Golden Globe. So Silkwood was her first big break. That's when she was in a lesbian relationship with Meryl Streep. So the two of them played lesbians who were affected by nuclear.
Stop. No. Oh my God.
Nuclear waste. It's something along those lines. Yeah,
that is so hilarious.
They live somewhere that has some sort of like toxic spill
God.
Or something. I can't remember. I haven't seen Silkwood in so long.
Was it Chernobyl?
What? Period.
Oh, it's gonna drive me nuts.
That is so okay. I need to because. And, like, also, this is truly me outing myself as a straight man, essentially. I also haven't seen Showgirls.
I've only watched bits and pieces.
Gay gasp.
I've only watched bits and pieces at a fucking, like, party. Like, gay parties.
I will say, there are some moments in Showgirls that I'm like, I can't even sit through because I know it's coming and I will fast forward because I'm like, first of all, it's violent or it's just gross or it's just terrible acting. So, like, if it's one of those three, if it's fun, terrible acting, I'll enjoy it. But if it's just really bad and I've seen it so many times, I'm like,
I don't need to hurt myself more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're already in a pandemic. I don't need more added on.
Yeah.
Let me look up Silkwood. I'm pretty sure.
Okay, because I need to watch Cher's movies because honestly, my only frame of reference for acting ability is Burlesque. So when you said that she prefers her acting work to her music, I was like, interesting.
Interesting. Well, I mean, she also did she did Mask. I think it was Mask, where her son Rocky Dennis, where he's born with deformities.
Okay.
Like,
I don't know.
Oh, my God. You need to
check. I need, okay. I'm going to do like a share. I need to do a share.
She plays this
night.
Like biker chick mom. Who's like
biker chick.
I'm there. I'm there for that.
That's kind of hard. Yeah. Has Cher like influenced your drag at all?
So the first time I ever did a Cher look fully was 2017.
Okay.
So that was the first time because every time I saw a drag queen do Cher, I was like, ugh. What a stereotype. And then I started like working the old school show at Woody's like every Sunday. So I was like, okay, well, gotta try a Cher look. So I actually made the Turn Back Time costume, got the hair, I stoned a jacket, and I put the whole look together. And I was just like, oh, this is fun. And then like trying to perfect her eyes.
Yeah.
There are certain, because Cher has a deep set eye like myself. So learning her face. I actually picked up some makeup tips that work better on me, and I started applying them to my own face. Okay. So she has influenced my drag in that sense. She also influences my drag with trying to elevate my costume ideas. Because her fashion is all Bob Mackie.
Okay. That, like,
she's always been, since the Sonny and Cher show, full on Bob Mackie gowns, costuming. He's had a hand in her wardrobe for the past 7 decades, pretty much. Well, not seven, maybe 5 decades.
Yeah. Since she was a baby.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm like, yeah, he's like making it like a Pampers.
Yeah.
So yeah, watching her evolution with style and fashion has definitely taken an influence on me. Like Visa right now, I've made completely 80s. Like my brand is 80s retro. I call myself an 80s, a failed 80s supermodel who's here to judge you.
Oh, love
that's
that.
Pretty much what my whole image is. So looking at 80s Cher, I've like been trying to pull some ideas recently, just because she does dress for stage. There are a lot of pop stars and singers now who are a little bit more scantily clad, but Cher knows how to make it scantily clad but elevated.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Like she knows
how to. She knows how to zhuzh it up.
Yes.
Yes.
She knows how to make a bra and panties look like a goddamn gown. Like.
Yes.
I love that. When she's basically naked, she makes it look so opulent and like very well like done. I love
she's not like Dua Lipa and Lululemon.
Are you a gay who doesn't like Dua Lipa?
I enjoy. Yes.
Yeah.
Her songs, I do not enjoy her dancing.
Yeah, I agree.
No,
with you there.
She's a low energy queen, as Taylor Rivers famously tweeted.
She's a low energy queen.
She's
okay.
Very,
yeah. So yeah. I just looked up Silkwood. So they live near nuclear reactors and they're exposed to radiation.
Okay.
and that's what makes them lesbian. Radiation. And now we finally know what makes people gay. Visa.
There we
that
go.
That is very practical.
I'm truly adding that. What's it called again?
Silkwood.
Okay, I'm gonna
watch
now.
That. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm remembering that line from Will and Grace where Jack is doing his Cher impression. He's like, "I'm a lesbian who's been exposed to nuclear radiation." Whoa!
Oh my god! Okay, this is so to bring
That's
up a
really
Will
funny.
A very funny cameo of Cher that I remember was like an intro. Was her that part where, because Jack obviously loves Cher and he's in like a coffee shop and the real Cher like walks in and then like she's like, I think he's talking about Cher or something, and she like taps on the shoulder and she's like, "Hi, like it's me," and he's like,
he had her doll.
Sorry. Oh yes, doll. The doll, of course. And then he's like, he basically thinks it's a Cher impersonator and just like reads her. He's like, actually, like this is wrong. This is wrong. Like I don't know the specifics, but it's really funny. It's actually Cher, and she's just kind of like,
"Oh my god, I love that."
And that I remember being like that type of self awareness, or like a diva having that type of in on the jokeness or self deprecation or whatever. That always has been like a thing about Cher, where like she feels like. We obviously must respect her at all times, but it feels like she's always kind of like in on the joke, and when the joke is like good.
I think one of the biggest jokes was that she's known for wearing wigs, and in the 90s was selling hair products. Like because her friend had a line of products, and I'm just like, are these for hair care or for wig care? What?
She is so camp.
But it wasn't for wig care.
She's very camp.
She's so camp, and I really love
people throw around camp a lot these days. And I realize and obviously, like, am I going to sit here on this podcast and claim that I've read all of Susan Sontag's notes on camp? Is that, am I getting that right? I haven't. I've just spark noticed it. But one thing about camp is it has to be intentional. And I feel like Cher is so like the intent is so clear. Like, I feel like with a lot of pop stars now, we can tell when they're like trying out a phase or they're trying out a trend. And it was all, Cher's always felt like, no, like I am like a sequin diva and I'm going to just be that all the time.
Have you ever seen any of the clips from when she did her solo show in the 70s?
No.
The Cher show? So she does, oh my God, what's it called? I literally just had it and it slipped. Not A Streetcar Named Desire. She does, what's the one with the Jets? That musical.
Oh, West Side Story?
West Side Story.
Yeah.
Yes.
She does West Side Story and plays all the parts.
What?
Yes. And it's like a 15-minute production.
That's so gay.
And it starts off with her. It's a black screen and she's standing in the middle. She's like, "Hi, I'm Cher. This is going to be West Side Story.
Yeah.
I will be playing all the parts. Thank you." And that's how it starts. And then it goes right into like Maria.
Oh my God.
I remember seeing the clip of this so on Twitter funny. And just yeah. screaming like, who said yes to this?
Cher.
Oh my God, Cher. That is so, see, that is like a very beautiful glimpse into her soul. Cause I'm like, okay, like this is why like gay men have gravitated towards her for years. I'm like, that's gay male behavior. If I ever heard it, is I'm gonna put on a one person show of West Side Story.
Well, I mean, Cher is a hyper queen. Let's be real. Like, a lot of, there are still gay men who won't accept hyper queens in the drag community, but they will idolize people like Cher, Lady Gaga.
It's very true.
Katy Perry. And it's like, these are hyper queens. Marilyn Monroe was a hyper queen. Absolutely. Ben Nye was her makeup artist. He helped create the illusion that is Marilyn Monroe. That was a persona. Exactly. That was a creation.
It's a very misogynistic part of the drag world where, I mean, it's evolving now, thankfully, especially with shit like, I don't know, cool shit like Dragula or just even like, mm-hmm. I don't know, like seeing like be tons more like drag kings who are getting like social media attention. But there was just this emphasis on like drag and glamour for so long where it was like, oh, like this is a space for like, for a man to dress up like a woman. And like, I feel like, but it's like, okay, then why? But it's like, you're basing this off of Cher. Who is a cis woman who is like hyper, hyper glam. So it's like, why are we setting up all these parameters?
Yeah.
And,
like,
I mean, when I started drag, there were a lot of rules that were passed down to me. And it was like, oh, you have to make sure your hip pads are done. You have to make sure you always have boobs in. You always make sure you have to have nails on. And there were so many rules. And I like stupidly believed it. But as over the last few years, I'm like, no, like drag shouldn't have rules. Like,
yeah,
if I don't want to wear boobs one day, I'm not going to wear boobs if I'm not comfortable. Like, if I want to wear a short wig, I'm going to wear a short wig.
Yes.
Do I want to block my brows today? No, I'm just going to use a little bit of them and do my own thing. Like, truly. I make my rules with what I'm comfortable with. And I think the more people just accept drag as what someone wants to put out there and not, oh, I'm following this checklist, everyone will be a lot happier, you know?
Totally.
Just do what you want to do. And like someone like Cher, she does exactly what she wants to do. She's like,
yeah,
I'm going to tweet random people. I'll do it.
Yeah.
If I want to show my ass and my tattoos, I'll do it.
Oh my God. Totally.
No, I love that. I love that philosophy regarding drag. Like, that's why, I don't know, that's why I take issue with Drag Race sometimes, or more so, I guess, Drag Race America. They're more rigid about, like, oh, you must be, like, femme glamour at all times. And it's like, and they, I don't know, or even, like, pageant queens who will talk about, like, female illusion. And it's like, well, like, not all women are, like, smooth hairless.
Exactly.
Like, lots of women all over the world have, like, body hair. And, like, trans women exist and, like, deserve to be represented on that show as well. And it's just kind of, and obviously the drag community, like, in Toronto and, like, in the real world has, like, uplifted trans drag performers since the beginning. But it's weird to just not see that on TV.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm like, you're limiting yourselves. There's so much, like, iconic talent that's out there, but you're keeping it off the show because of these rigid fucking, like, ancient rules.
It's not only that, too. A lot of times with these shows, it's it's not how good you are, it's how much of a trauma story they can pull out of you.
They love that. Have you seen that meme that. Where it's like a picture of RuPaul and, or is it RuPaul? I can't remember, but it's like a character siphoning an energy out of another character and the caption
is
like,
Agatha. Truly.
RuPaul dragging the trauma story out of you.
Oh my God. But something I kind of realized today, Cher, as Drag Race references Cher so much, she's never like appeared on the show.
No.
Wow. She hasn't.
Why? Do we know why?
Oh, I have no idea. I mean, her mom and her son have been on the show, but she wasn't.
That is so interesting.
Yeah. That episode
They were on season 6, and then they did a Rusical, a Cher Rusical, in season 11. Was it? No, it wasn't season 11, season 10.
And I was like, she couldn't even send a little video message?
No.
I wonder why. I'm really interested in this now.
They can't afford the cameo.
Oh, you know what? That is it's
that rate is
that.
Too high.
It's as easy as that. You're right. Oh my God.
Imagine if they did get a video message from her, but it's so clear that it's a cameo. It's like Cher be like, "Oh, hi, Rue. I hear it's your birthday. Your friends wanted me to say like
your friends
that's
wanted
my
me
Cher.
To say the producers.
That, your friends at World of Wonder. Yeah. Oh my God.
That was like that the season 12 reunion that they did virtually and Dolly Parton. Jumps on with Nina West and it's like you can tell Jolly's just in her closet like I'm reading a script. I don't know what I'm saying. These jokes aren't landing because I didn't write them.
Oh my god, all these divas we keep saying with every episode we've done like in the past 2 weeks because people have been bringing a lot of women on the show, like there needs to be a festival just saying thank you to all these badass women who just like have created this history of just
Divas Live.
Yes.
Bring back
Divas Live. Bring it back.
Why isn't it like?
Because there aren't divas anymore. I'll say it. There aren't divas anymore.
They're really, it's sad. The pool is getting smaller.
It's getting smaller.
And I feel like the reason why Cher has been able to like, because Cher really didn't. I feel like once divas like, I don't know, not that I think Madonna's like the pinnacle of diva, but we referenced her earlier in the app, is like she's been trying to play the game as the game's evolved, but where Cher's been like, no, I'm just gonna be consistently Cher throughout.
Yes.
Whereas Madonna, it always feels like she's chasing something, or like artists as they like progress, it feels like they lose their sense of self.
Madonna's trying to keep up with the trends and be like, I'm perfect in this trend, or I'm killing this trend. But then whereas Cher's like going along with trends, but it's like, I'm gonna do it my way.
She does it in such a Cher way.
Adapt my way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like I was just gonna say, like, Madonna, like the last time she did something that was relevant that still worked was literally 4 minutes. And then every time
I was gonna say Lourdes, but
very funny.
Lord, this is so
funny
to me.
I think she's working.
I think so. What's she doing? She's like she's modeling or something?
I don't
know.
Wasn't
she dating Timothy
Chalamet? I think
she has
kind of like a streetwear brand, probably. Ew. That sounds right to me.
Knitwear. If your parents have over $1 million, you've never worn streetwear. Perhaps you've worn Boulevard. Yeah. Avenue wear, but not streetwear, honey.
Like, it's so funny that these like, and then they'll call them like luxury streetwear brand.
No
and I'm like,
thing.
You don't. I know it's like the what's it called? It's like not a paradox, is it?
Like an oxymoron.
Oxymoron. Yes, exactly. It's like you can't have those two like
luxury
concepts. Like luxury. No. It's wild.
It's like the Brooks Marks tracksuit.
Oh my god. But okay, Visa, I'm going to ask you a question and feel free to like roll your eyes at me, literally cancel me, block me on Instagram for asking you this. But would we ever see you maybe one day on a Drag Race Canada?
Sure, if they'll let me get past the first round of auditions.
Okay.
Well, I would love to
literally
see you.
Listeners like mobilize and like get Visa on Drag Race.
Listen, when they finally come around to wanting a Bianca type, they can call me. Until
we've been
then,
missing a Bianca
like,
type.
Yes, we've been missing a Bianca type.
Well, they don't. See, the thing is, if you haven't noticed already, I don't do well with sensitive people. I'm very direct and bit of a loudmouth, and I'll make comments and like critiques and just be a little honest about it. And I think that doesn't work with what they want for this version of Canada's Drag Race. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I don't have a backstory. Maybe
you're
I don't
Italian.
Have the look they want.
You're Italian. That's the backstory.
Who knows?
Lady Gaga.
If I ever get cast, great. I will come back on this podcast once I film it. But yeah, it's not happening for me anytime
but
soon.
But it's just like, no, Visa, here's where I have to disagree. Is because I feel like, yes, queens, like, I guess they need a story in the sense that, like, I guess every human, like, has one. But, like, there are queens who, like, made it far in Drag Race Canada where I'm like, a queen like Lemon or a queen like Jimbo, like, I can't really recall their stories right off the bat. You know what I mean?
No, but one thing I heard was that Alona and Lemon, because they have green cards, they were being looked at for the U.S. version. So when they announced the Canada one, they started shifting them more towards doing this. That's why people, when those two were cast, they were like, they don't even live in Canada. Why are they?
Oh.
Wait, I didn't know Alona didn't live in Canada. Where did she live?
Yeah, Lemon was living in New York.
Yeah, Lemon was in New York. Yeah.
But where was Alona?
She was in L.A.
Oh.
She
was in L.A. Okay, this is... I love... Whenever I learn stuff about the Drag Race, like, universe...
Yeah, I heard these things on a Toronto-based podcast, Squirrel Talk.
Ooh, Squirrel Talk. Selena.
Vicky and Selena. I think Vicky was talking about it and how she read it somewhere that they were being looked at for the U.S. one, and then they got shifted to Canada. I'm pretty sure that's what they said. I'm pretty sure that's what Vicky said.
Okay.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah. Got to pull the Kathy Griffin out.
Wow.
Interesting. I also think, now that you mention it, it's very interesting that people are moving to major cities to do drag now.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it used to be a thing where, like, if you lived, for example, in, why am I forgetting the names of Canadian cities and towns? If you lived in, like, Sudbury, and you had an affinity for putting on makeup and fake boobs, you moved to Toronto. But it feels like now people from, like, Toronto are like, okay, I want to make it big in the drag world. So they moved to New York and L.A. Is that a new thing?
Well, yeah, you hit the ceiling.
Yeah.
And it happens everywhere. I mean, I have done drag in Sudbury. Like, I've traveled around Ontario and done shows, like, road shows. Sudbury is a cute little city for a night. I mean, I wouldn't like put down roots and be like, yeah, I'm gonna start a show at the local
at Jimmy's
bar
pub.
Or something.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's queer night every Tuesday, but I definitely think there is a ceiling that people hit. Like Brooklyn, for instance, she hit a ceiling in Toronto. Like when she won Continental, because I was her booking manager at Cruise, I knew. I was like, you're going to be out of here. Like this, you're not going to be here much longer kind of thing. And then when that happened, I was like, yeah, she's on to the next thing. Like she's going to Nashville. And I was like, Nashville is going to parlay into Drag Race one day. Did I know there would be Canada's Drag Race? I'd never predicted that.
Yeah,
I never thought
no one
we
did.
Would see that.
Yeah. No one ever
so
did.
To see that opportunity for queens in Canada is really great. And I do support any of my friends that get on it. Like there were a few queens I actually texted during this audition process and I was like, you don't have to tell me, but if you for some reason need to borrow money, let me know.
Yes.
I will scrape together what I can to help and the e-transfer. But it was only to certain queens that I like.
Yeah.
That I was like, I was hearing whispers about. So I was just like, you don't have to tell me anything, but if you need to borrow money, you just let me know.
Oh my God.
Kind of thing.
I love
that. That's so sweet.
But, I do want people to realize too, like if you don't get on Canada's Drag Race,
it's not a barometer of how talented
it's
you
not
are.
For sure.
Like the producers have to think about so many things other than talent all the time. Talent is
there's a lot of factors that go into
like,
it.
Exactly.
There are, and also even in Toronto, I'm like obviously like I'm sure like there are great queens all over this country, but just like in Toronto, like I know there are so many successful queens who like have done great stuff who have never been on Drag Race, like Fisher Price like has like a show like on CBC Gem, and like Allison Chains has been like truly like defining like queer West for like a long time, and like Tainomi before she went on Drag Race was like a like legend. Like I remember being like a gaby like 17 like sneaking into like the village and being like, oh, like she is like the main character of the village, like she like meant something way more than like her track record on Drag Race or whatever. So yeah, I agree. Like, it's like, especially if you end up on Drag Race and you don't have like the chops to really like prove that you're funny or like fierce or whatever you're trying to market yourself as a queen, it's like, it's not worth it because you're not going to be, yeah, you're not going to be like evolved enough.
Well, speaking about Drag Race, Chad Michaels shares Chad on Michaels Snatch Share. Game.
Iconic.
Yes.
Iconic.
Yes.
Iconic.
Yes.
Is that your favorite Cher impression?
No.
What's your, do you have one?
What's your fave?
Not really, because I think only Cher can do Cher properly. Like, Chad Michaels is, yeah, probably the closest thing to Cher.
Yeah.
Outside of Cher. But that's, it's just a, it's just, yeah, a knockoff, you know? It's like, I'll spend the extra for the real thing.
And I guess it's also a, yeah, thing where, like, if you're a, an impersonator or a drag queen, you can never really do Cher. You have to do an era of Cher.
Oh, yeah, for, yeah, sure. Yeah. That, well, that's why the Rusical, they, yeah, each had a different pretty much look, yeah, of Cher they had to,
yeah,
do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel like...
Who would either of you do for Snatch Game? That's what I would love to know.
What characters would we do for Snatch Game?
Oh, I, yeah, I would do Beyonce.
Oh my god, okay, ABBA's Beyonce.
I'm not
is
doing
the,
it, but I
don't. And, you don't have to do it, but I just need to, I always, whenever it brings up, it's truly my favorite Beyonce impression.
Very nice.
Oh my god, my, oh my god, my Snatch Game impression. Oh, I know this. I'd probably want to be like, I don't know, the Virgin Mary or something. Like, just some, like, and it's just like, literally, it's like a classic sketch thing of just like, pick like a character from history that you could just like make funny, yes, by being you.
Yes.
Like Rosé, like with the,
exactly. Yeah. Rosé was funny in that. Even like, I can, nothing else comes to mind. But yeah, when people pick a historical figure or like, what's it called? This was on a tour, like when Jinx Monsoon was on Battle of the Seasons, but she used to do a Queen Elizabeth where like her Queen, oh, Elizabeth, yeah, yeah, was just like an Essex girl.
That's
essentially
funny.
Like,
that,
but she was
funny
in the full like ball gown.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah,
it was
hilarious. Who would you do, Visa?
Yeah, who would you do?
So with? Everyone has asked me this and I always tell, ooh, them I will never reveal because I don't want someone to do it.
Oh.
Okay. The one I really want to do is super niche, so I know if it's,
if it gets,
you know what? I'm just gonna spill.
No,
it.
No, you don't have to.
You don't have to.
Exclusive. No, we'll do an exclusive because then if someone does it, I'll be like,
okay,
you listen to,
okay,
this podcast.
Exclusive.
You stole the idea.
This is exclusive. This never is been said anywhere else.
Never.
So I always tell people, oh, I would do a retrospective of Catherine O'Hara. So I say that to people. So
that's,
I would,
great,
start.
That's great.
As like, probably something SCTV or. But then I would like also do like Home Alone, mm-hmm, like one question, I'd just be like, Kevin,
yeah,
you know, just like yell random things.
Yeah.
Obviously do like end with Moira Rose, do Beetlejuice at,
yes,
one point, just be like, hey,
yeah, 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 yeah,
and get up from the table and just look around.
Yes.
So like things like that or like Mighty Wind. But what I would really do is Lucille Ball at a Dean Martin roast.
Oh my
specific,
god.
Specific, like older Lucille Ball, the chain smoking Lucille Ball. I wouldn't do young, like, meh. I would do like,
that's fun. That is fun.
Yeah.
Oh
my, oh
my
god. That's
I,
great.
I love that. I think that.
I survived the missile Cuban, the Cuban Missile Crisis. That's what I called it when Desi got syphilis.
Oh my god. And I feel like Snatch Game, like they love those types of jokes.
Yes.
Like,
oh, exactly.
That's, yes, yes.
Oh my god. That is so good. I feel like we're like EW getting the exclusive.
Yes, we are.
Entertainment.
Desi used to bang his drums more than me.
Okay, Visa, don't use all your material on the pod.
The girls are going to steal it.
The girls are going to steal it.
Oh, I know. That's why I put it out there to see who tries to grab it.
Oh,
grab
my
it.
God. Like baby
Bell
Bell
steals
it.
You just dangle a little. And see what people
grab
it.
See who jumps to grab
it. Oh, my God.
So
yeah,
as we're coming to the end here, we usually like to end with like, okay, I forgot to ask this question earlier, so I'll ask it now. But... with Cher, we always talk about like people's like pop stars outfits and stuff like that. With Cher, I know it's literally impossible to pick a favorite outfit, but to the best of your ability, what's your favorite outfit and like what project do you want to see her do before her career ends?
Well, I mean, I don't know if her career will ever end.
Yeah. Like she'll have to die
like,
in order.
She'll be on her deathbed, yeah, and she'll probably be like, here, let's just do a quick cover.
Chaz Bono's right beside her with like,
yeah,
a karaoke track.
He's got
like
the voice memo out. He's like, okay, yeah, mom, here you go. You know she has another son, right? A lot of people
she has another
that
son.
What?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Who?
She was married to one of the Allman Brothers who had a heroin addiction. And she was married to him for, I think, maybe 2 years. But they only spent, like, 6 months together because he was, like, in and out. Yeah, she has a second son, Elijah.
Oh, wow.
Elijah Moon.
Elijah Allman. Okay, interesting. Elijah Moon.
Yeah.
This is interesting.
He's in like, a heavy metal rock band.
Okay, cool. Of course. I didn't know this. And
of that is... I bet that's like, oh my God, that is so Cher.
It would probably be a costume from, I'm going to see if I can find a photo, but it's a Bob Mackie Cher costume and it's got some beading. I think it's beading. It's like sequin.
Those outfits look so heavy to me.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's the red Take Me Home. That's what it is. The Take Me Home. That's one of my favorite Cher costumes.
I'm pulling that up too.
I love. She really does, like, her hair is just so long. It is.
That's very funny. Her hair is just so long.
It truly is. Oh, yes. This is gorgeous. This is gorgeous. Oh, this is iconic. Oh my gosh.
Oh, I mean, is it that one?
Yes, there we go.
Yeah. The beating of the hair flowing into the garment. This is, and I feel like
quintessential drag.
This is drag.
I love that. I love that. That is drag.
Oh,
I'm
that
trying
is
to
really
call
pretty.
Up my favorite Cher look, and it's like she's wearing this like sequins bra. Oh gosh. That's not very descriptive. That's literally just 80% of her outfit.
My look is very...
Yeah, I was going to say, like, there's three costumes that came to mind right away.
So. My look is so... I know. Mine is, like, truly, like, look number, like, one that everyone thinks of. But it's, like, I think the year after she won her Oscar when she presented.
Oh,
it's, like,
yes, the classic.
The black, like, headdress with kind of, like... Oh, so see. Pretty.
I need to find this, you guys. It's literally, every time I think of what is opulent, I think of this.
What is opulent? Also,
The Cher outfit I will say I never liked was, I think it was around Divas Live she did it. She wore a blonde wig and it was just a white, like almost crop toppy top. And then it was a pair of jeans.
Why'd she wear that?
And it was she wanted to be comfortable, but... Drag queens started doing that, and I was like,
no.
I don't care if Cher wore that. You do not wear jeans in drag.
Exactly.
Oh,
this is my
that,
favorite.
Oh, there we go. That is a hot Cher look.
I love it. It's
that
so
is
80 sexy.
80 Cher to a T.
80 Cher, curly hair, patent leather. What's that shit called? Bodysuit. High thong. I can see 40% of her pussy. Just chains everywhere. It's hot. I love this look. I want to wear this one.
And I feel like she really, like, drag queens, like, that, she is the blueprint for a lot of, like, staples in, like, a drag queen's closet, I feel like. If I'm overstepping as a non-drag queen, you let me know, Visa. Maybe the times have changed.
Have you ever thought of starting drag?
No, because here's the thing. Imagine how, like, it's, like, it would be, like, really bad, you know?
You're, like... It's like, you're like, oh, I would put so many people out of jobs.
Oh, God.
I know. I need to get the... But no, I do say this. If I was good at drag, I'd probably be a good drag queen. But I'm not good at drag. Like, I don't know how to do hair and makeup. I can learn, but then, like, I just feel
join
like...
Join me and Patrick on Zoom one day.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But here's the thing. I'd want to be really pretty, and I'd struggle with the years of probably looking very ugly.
We all have to do that, though.
That's one thing, like with YouTube getting so big and tutorials being so easy to find, a lot of performers were learning their face and then going out. So they were coming out looking fully done. And my generation, we had to go out there looking busted because we didn't know all these tricks or really know how to perfect things.
Yeah.
And I really think the busted years are where you learn and thrive the most because an audience wants to see your progress. They want to see you develop in front of them. So that's why I think a lot of performers now, if they come out looking fully done, yeah, you can have people be like, oh, you look fierce, blah, 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 all that stuff. But if an audience gets to watch your transformation and your progress throughout the years and they buy into it and they really connect with it, you got a lifelong fan, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's someone who's like, I remember when they started and they had their eyebrows up in their
forehead,
you know?
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
That's really special. I think that's really nice.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like that person can look back and be like, I remember when you were walking around with a beard and you didn't mean to have a beard, mm-hmm. but it was coming through, mm-hmm. you know, because yeah. like, you didn't know what beard blocking yes. was or correction yeah, yeah, yeah. corrector was. So. Yeah.
That is, I really like that. That's the part, that's the type of drag, like that's the type of community that drag creates. And I'm like, oh, this is what we kind of get lost when it becomes reality TV-ified.
When it becomes the rattlesnake noise and the shady confessionals mm-hmm. and the trauma stories yeah. about getting hit by a bus.
All or, that shit.
And then being left at the bus stop, yeah. you know, like yeah. when that takes over, you kind of forget the fun you can have creating art yes. sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
That's yes. beautiful. That's gorgeous. And I think that is the perfect place to I know. End this visa. So that's please so gorgeous. Tell us where we can find you and where can people like check out your upcoming projects.
So you can find me on Instagram at the Visa Decline. You can also check out You're Doing It Wrong Instagram page. That's at You're Doing It Wrong Show. My website, visadecline.com, patreon.com/thevisadecline, and just search Visa Decline on YouTube and you can find my channel with all my videos, my tutorials, my snacking videos, because I'm on that road to starting mukbangs, yes. I think.
I love.
It started with M&Ms and now it's progressing. Yes. So.
Oh, nice.
Who knows? I love
that. Oh my God. Well, thank you so much for coming on to talk about Cher. I literally, like, I feel honored that we got a true drag expert to talk about the best drag queen of all.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm super happy I was able to be on. I've been listening to this pod. I love it so much. So to finally be on an episode is really exciting for me. So thank you.
I'm so sweet. That's so thank nice. You so much, thank Visa. You. Please Thanks. Follow me at ABAQUAN. I almost N. gave my email out. I almost sent my email. I'm sorry. Yeah, follow me at Abaquan on Twitter, extra N on Instagram. And you can follow Nostalgic at Nostalgic Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And, you know, like, comment, subscribe, please, please.
Yes, listeners, you'd also be shocked to know which email platform Abba uses.
I recently got a new email, okay?
No, okay, never mind. I'll take that back. But you can follow me at JKMissThing on Instagram, BenSisterWright on Twitter and TikTok, and leave a rating and review on this podcast wherever you get your podcast. It truly is the best way to support the pod is to just leave a 5-star review. So if you liked, if you laughed, if you even loved.
And share among your friends.
Share among your friends.
Share.
Oh my God.
We're so proud of ourselves.
That was really good.
Dragon wheel with two.
Yay.
Oh, God.
Bye.
Okay, bye, everybody.
Okay, so you've been listening to Abba.
And you've been listening to Ben. Bye. Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar!
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.